Hello. My name is Austin Belzer, and I represent the Blade Picture. Oh, that's a PR email. Sorry about that. More seriously, though, I am Austin Belzer, and welcome to my show, The Blade of Tech Show, the 34th episode. Oof. Every time I say 30th, ooh. Like, I know I say this a lot, but I genuinely didn't think I'd make it this far. And I know I'm kind of going off script here. Yes, I have a script. Because I can't always think straight like right now. But 34 episodes. Woo! That's almost about 20 more episodes and it'll be over a year. It's crazy. Anyways, welcome to the Blade of Deck Show number 34. I am your host, Austin Belzer. And, we got some stuff to talk about this week. A lot of stuff. Deus Ex, TwitchCon, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, and Armlive. So that's gonna be fun. Hopefully, news doesn't break. And you might realize I'm recording on a Wednesday and it's going up on a Wednesday. Sorry about that. I had something I wanted to announce, but, I can't really talk about it right now. Just know everything's alright. It's more on this side of things, on website and all that. But speaking of website, sorry for the energy spike there, or audio spike, whichever one you prefer saying. I just had to ease off the microphone because, yeah, that doesn't sound good. I've had a bit of frustration with my website this weekend, because I was using this, app called Adobe Clayton. Let me just, look at it since I'm already on my iPad. Yeah, it's called Adobe Slate. It just popped up in my, in the App Store on iOS. I suggest you go download it if you don't have a blog or anything. Yeah, it's the iOS App Store. I don't think it's available on Google Play. But basically, what Adobe Slate allows you to do... Yeah, I'm already signed in, you dingus. Anyways, you can basically create on your news story on your iPad and view it anywhere, on your web phone, on your computer, all that. And you can showcase images. That's the big one. Is being able to showcase images. And yes, I know you heard me put my iPad down. I'm working on sound. But anyways, yeah, I was messing around with it, seeing how it would do, and it does really well. And you might have noticed that my site, thebladedetectshow.com, actually went down over the weekend. And that's because I was messing around with some stuff I shouldn't have, because I was trying to get my blog. I was trying to customize my blog, put it on my site. To just make it great. I wanted a one-stop shop, and I've kind of created that. I've actually integrated my blog, my podcast, Twitch streams, I think, let me check to make sure. But I wanted something like TheVerge.com. I admire how their website looks, and Polygon, okay, it's gonna take a little bit to load. Come on, scroll down. Yeah, but I have my YouTube videos, my blog, oh wow, it just updated with the Deus Ex story, streams, podcast, all that fun stuff on there now, is on there now. But I'm still kind of frustrated with it, because I want to be able to, just sit back and have a featured image, and WordPress can do this, which I also played around with the possibility of doing this, but I want to be able to put text, overlay text over my over a photo that's a backdrop, that's kind of like the headline, if that makes sense. I want a text overlay over a featured image. So I know this is all website guru stuff, but that's what I really want from a blog, because I'm starting to realize exactly what Tumblr is. It's not a blogging website. What it is, though, is a social network, and I think a lot of people forget that. And I even have been guilty of forgetting about it. Because, I mean, there's just... I search anywhere, and it says, oh, if you want to customize your site, do a Tumblr. If you're just starting out, do a Tumblr. But that's starting to become untrue. And it's also an issue of, I want to grow. I really do. I want to be able to put my blog, self-host images. So, like, I want to be able to have that freedom of, yeah, I own a .com, but I also own a Tumblr.com. I also own a Shout Engine site. I also own all these individual things, and I really just want to make it a one-stop shop. And my current creative outlets aren't letting me do that, because I make no money. And on that side, I really... If you guys... I hate to ask for donations, but if you can, do it, please. I'll add a support link to this page or whatever, because that would help me a lot. Because I really just want to be able to, maybe even some, I'll move to Squarespace, because right now all my site's doing on GoDaddy is cheaper. It was a lot cheaper, and I didn't even think about Squarespace back in December. So now it's April, and E3 is coming up, and I don't really have a good site, so to speak. So, and a good hosting site, because I want to be able to just put everything on there. Anyways, sorry for that weird energy dip. This microphone does that a while. Every once in a while, it'll just dip. In audio. But to close this out, here's some other stuff I've been checking out, which I'll talk about on my YouTube channel, and maybe. I've been checking out HBO Now on iOS, so if you own an iPhone, actually you can sign up on the web too, I think, but if you want to view it on mobile, HBO Now can use your iTunes account and say, okay, it's gonna auto renew after this free 1 month trial, and that's what I'm gonna use it for. I'm gonna use it on my iPad until I can use it on my Android Moto X, because that's really the dream, is being able to cast Game of Thrones or Silicon Valley or Late Night, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver or Veep. Or any of that stuff to my TV, because, oh, and I also didn't know this, and this will be more in my review, but I can watch movies on HBO Now. So there's like 47 Ronin in here, 8 Mile, Agent Cody Banks, Austin Powers, Batman Begins, Blade Runner, that's good. That's just a few of the great, great titles. I'm mainly using it to catch up on Game of Thrones, and a funny thing about Game of Thrones, I was watching I'm on season 2 of Game of Thrones, and I promise I'll get into what I'm playing soon, but I noticed I made all the wrong choices in my game. I made all of the wrong choices, because I only watched season 1, all of season 1, by the way, it's going to take me 27 hours to catch up. Please. Why you do this, HBO? But I've got all month, so it shouldn't matter that much. Anyways, I just, watching this, I'm like, oh, I should have been nicer to this person. I should have done this. I should have done that. So, I think when I catch up, up to season 5, when that comes out this week, right? The 12th? No, that's next week. But anyways, wow, we're running long on the intro. But anyways, checking out HBO Now, that's a really fun, I highly recommend it, if you've got an iOS device, or I don't recommend it on the laptop, if you're watching it on your laptop, or even your desktop tower yet, because, well, I'll go more into this in the review, but it's just laggy, it just doesn't really work. I've also been reading the 7th issue of Batman Arkham Knight. Really great stuff. It's starting to get really great. It was bad before. Starting to bring in Scarecrow, starting to realize, okay, this is where the game's going. How many issues is this? I don't know. But I'm gonna keep buying it. And the weird thing is, like, I do this Google Rewards thing where I answer surveys for them and they give me money. So it's kind of pays for itself, really. And the last thing was Adobe Slate, but we already talked about that. So that is the long, really, really long intro. I talked a little too much about the website stuff, but I'm not going to edit it. That's pure gold right there. That's pure audio gold because I'm expressing frustration. But anyways, that's the intro. Next up is what I'm playing. See you soon. Welcome back to the Bladed Deck Show. So this is what I'm playing, where I talk all about the video games I've been playing in the past week, whether it's on mobile, whether it's on PC, consoles, you name it. I talk about it. In fact, it's a little bit more diverse this week, which is surprising. First item up on the list is Child of Light. Kind of boomed my voice there. Oh well. As you may have known, I played Child of Light, about a year ago, on Xbox 360, so I don't have a lot to say on the whole Child of Light thing. Except for it runs, it looks a lot better. I mean, sure, it looks fine. Trying to do an impression there, and it didn't really work. Anyways, I played this a lot more on Xbox 360, and I'll probably catch up to my save on Xbox One, and I'll probably finish it on Xbox One, because it's all... Because here's the deal with, with things such as, multiple platform titles. Multi-platforms. That release both on Xbox 360 and Xbox One. If I had known that I was going to get an Xbox One, I totally would have bought the Child of Light on Xbox One. I totally would have bought it on Xbox One. Because I actually paid for Child of Light and Super Time Force. And then about a year later, well, Super Time Force has already been a Games for Gold title. And so is this now. But over the course of the past year, both of those games have been available for free now because of the Games of Gold stuff. And now I get to play it again, but there's this dilemma. Like, I've already played this. I've already played through this section. Why do I need to play through it again? Was there something I missed? I mean, all in all, I don't like replaying my games. I don't. Partially because it's just counterproductive. I'd rather experience a new thing than an old thing that I loved or pay hated it. Because rarely, my opinion is law. Not rarely. My opinion is law, so it's very rare for me to change my opinion of it just because it looks better or runs better on the new consoles. Because if we're being quite honest, I know I'm gonna get a lot of flack for this, but the PC versions of Child of Light and Super Time Force, those are the true versions. I'm sorry, but that's the game they wanted to make at the performance they wanted to have. That was their goal, because you can do a lot more things on a PC graphically and performance wise than you can do on an Xbox One or PS4, and more so on Xbox 360 and PS3, because that architecture is just kind of, well, stupid. Because it's not PC-like. You can't develop for one system. But this is getting less about what I'm playing and more of a rant, so I'm gonna cut it off there, because I just don't like playing games again. I'll probably review it, but, well, let's see. Yeah, I'm gonna review it. But we'll talk about that in the outro. I've also been playing Pool Nation FX. Look out for a review probably tomorrow-ish. Sometime this week. I'm really trying to get that review out. But I think Child of Light's review is going to be closer than Pool Nation FX. Just due to the fact that I've already played it. I'll probably finish Child of Light before I finish Pool Nation. But Pool Nation FX is a new game with Games with Gold. I play all the Games with Gold titles, or at least try to. I haven't played The Witcher 2 yet, if you're asking. But we do have some Witcher news. Let's see. Pool Nation FX, it's a pool game. I don't really expect a lot from it. I just expect I shoot. I tell it where to shoot, I tell it the power, and it does what it does. In lieu of a review, since it's not out yet, I'm just gonna say what I think about it here first. I really do not like this title. I don't. The performance is just awful. When you first load up the game, it takes about two minutes. I could prepare my lunch in that time. It's just unfortunate. And this game, yeah, graphics. Oh, it's got Unreal Engine 4. Yeah, it's got Unreal Engine 4, but graphics aren't everything. Gameplay is, at least to me. And the gameplay just sucks. It just isn't fun. Yeah, you can view things from the top of the table or in a bird's eye view camera, or you can just look horizontally across the table. But it just doesn't seem to be very accurate in the way the physics are, because I'll hit a ball and it will go like 10 times slower than I think it actually would. And I've played real pool. A lot of people debate me on this fact, but the physics in this game are just awful. It's just awful. And when an AI hits it, it just whoosh goes faster than ever. And that's also another problem with this game. I don't mean to turn this into a hate fest, but the AI is just too good. I play on the difficulty it tells me I should play on, which is normal, and I have to go through a level in career mode 5 times just because I didn't know I could do something. And that's also another thing. Until somebody told me about it, I didn't know how to do trick shots. I didn't know how to swerve a ball. I didn't know how... I only knew point and shoot, point and shoot, point and shoot. Because the game doesn't tell you anything. It just expects you to know everything. Just know it. And I get it. It's a pool game. You should always know. But I haven't played a pool game in a while. I haven't played a pool game since 2005. Maybe even longer. Well, not 2005. But you get the picture. I haven't played a pool game in a long time. So for people who are just looking for a pool game to go and play, I can't recommend it. I just can't. So let's move on here. What else do we got? Oh, I played Sunset Overdrive's Dawn of the Rise of the Fallen Machines DLC. And man, what a great way to send off this game. Because, and when I say send off, I mean, I don't mean that there's not going to be a sequel, because there probably will. I would expect to hear more about that sometime around E3, because they're going to be talking about Sunset Overdrive at E3, because that's kind of, that was the show of E3 so many years in a row. Well, for 2013 when it got revealed, and everyone loved its trailers and whatnot. Anyways, there's ending development on it, so you can still play it, you can still play some Chaos Squad, you could still, you could replay the missions if you haven't already played them. Yeah, but let's get to this DLC. It takes place in a Fisco robotics factory. One of the main characters, Sam, who's a hacker, who you meet early on in the Sunset Overdrive story, main story, tells you, hey, got some mentors who are in trouble, go check it out. And this DLC, I will argue, better than the main game. Holy cow. The jokes are just witty. That kind of dry humor that it's known for. You've also got sly references to Metroid, which Moilrig? Yeah, they had a DLC monster, like, SEA monster, yeah, that humor wasn't really, it didn't really feel right, and this one really does. There's like a scene where you're rolling around in a Metroid-style ball, and he's like, hey, this feeling a little Metroid-y, isn't it? Like, I just want more of those moments of breaking that fourth wall, saying, what the heck? Why does this feel like Metroid? And I haven't played a lot of Metroid titles, but I have played enough to know what that is, what he is referring to. I did review it, and I can't wait for whatever's next from that franchise. I really do think you should just go out and buy it. I think there was a deal yesterday where it was like $20. Sunset Overdrive's always on sale, and if you want to buy it digitally, you can do so on Xbox One. It's about $40, and I think I don't know if they lowered the season pass price, but I think it's somewhere around $25. I'll have to look it up later and tell you, but, yeah, that's what I'm, seriously, the DLCs in this game are a Fallout level. They're really good. They actually meaningfully add to the main story, instead of just say, hey, here's some new weapons, and it does do that, but you're not paying for those weapons. See, those weapons are included in that DLC. And plus, Sunset Overdrive is like the funnest game, at least to me. But you might not like it. I also have been playing quite a bit of PC games, namely Star Wars Battlefront 2 and Just Cause 2. See, Battlefront 2 is one of the... It's in my top 10. I keep forgetting, oh, EA's gonna make a new Battlefront game. And hearing all this new Star Wars news, which there's a digital movie collection that you can go out and buy for $100. Now EA's making the Battlefront games. Star Wars games. Force Awakens is coming out soon. All this stuff is happening, and I'm just like, I feel like a kid again. Especially with playing Star Wars Battlefront 2 on my big screen. It is a little bit disappointing that that game doesn't have multiplayer anymore, because I booted up the game because I had bought it that day because Star Wars. I was itching for some Star Wars stuff to play. And my stepbrother was in the room playing Civ 5. I can't remember if he was playing the expansion or not, but he was playing Civilization 5 on his computer. Me and him have a kind of PC connection going on. He asked me, hey, is a game going on sale soon, or is a specific game on sale soon, or hey, when's... He just asked me for a lot of PC-related info, and I give it to him, because I'm not too self-centered to not say, oh, Skyrim's on sale. And, like, because he keeps asking about Beyond Earth, but, like, he plays more Steam games than I do. But then again, he can also play those games offline, and Xbox One games you really can't. Anyways, getting back to Battlefront 2, which is what we were originally talking about. It is a shame that they don't have local multiplayer, because I feel like that could have been a selling point. I will acknowledge I knew this beforehand. I knew that Battlefront 2 didn't have multiplayer anymore, but it hadn't crossed my mind that that meant local multiplayer too. And I'm pretty sure Battlefront 2 had local multiplayer, because it came out on PS2, and that... A lot of multiplayer was just local. Bring your PS2 or GameCube to a friend's house and you could play Battlefront. No network connection required, which I kind of miss. Anyways, that game runs beautifully. I kind of wish they would have made it less of a port and more of a PC remake kind of thing, but I can understand why they wouldn't, because it's not in widescreen. It's in a 4:3 aspect ratio, so it's in standard definition. But it still looks good. It still looks like it's running at 1080p. Well, not 1080p, but it looks good still. Or at least as good as I remember. I wouldn't say no to a HD remaster, but... That's kind of where I would like to draw the line in the sand. I'm good for... And I know they talk about remasters a lot, but that's because it's a hot-button issue. I would love for a Battlefront 2 remaster, but I don't want something like Batman Arkham City to be re-released. That's more of a primer than it is a remaster, because that game was already in 1080p, but that's speaking to more PC stuff. And to wrap up what I'm playing, I've also been playing some I played a little bit of Just Cause 2 before it crashed. And all this to say, I really am starting to enjoy PC gaming again. Especially on Saturdays where it's just... Where you get that camaraderie, but where everyone's at the house and especially on Easter Sunday... You get that sense of, oh, man, it would be really great if I could play this old game. And I can play most of my old games on my PC, which is fantastic. And I've actually been adding quite a bit of titles to my Steam wishlist. Yes, I have. But anyways, that is it for what I am playing, and I'll see you with the headlines. So, see you then. Welcome to the headlines. It's me again. Alright, so we don't have a lot to cover this week. Just four articles. I wished I could have grabbed more, but got a lot to talk about. So, what's the first headline? TwitchCon announces sale dates and much more. So let's look at this. TwitchCon. Alright. So, let's go to the official blog of Twitch. TwitchCon tickets. There we go. I would have written more there, but, you know, how it is. So here's how the article reads from the official Twitch blog at blog.twitch.tv. Twitch.tv. TwitchCon is taking shape, and today we're excited to announce ticket pricing and sale date, a call for additional content, a preview of on-site activities, and more. So here's how tickets are happening. It goes on sale at 2 p.m. Pacific time, so that's, figure it out. On April 10th, this Friday, at TwitchCon.com, with discounts if you buy it before 11 p.m. PT on Friday, April 24th. Now you can buy it four ways. There's Friday only, so Friday, September 25th only, which is 50 U.S. dollars, convert that into whatever prices you want. Early bird price, $45. Saturday only is $60. USD early bird is $55. 2-day pass, $85. $75 USD. Then they're asked to submit an awesome idea. On-site activities are panels, interactive events, exclusive Twitch swag available only at the show, and a keynote from their CEO. So here's the big personalities from Twitch coming. JP, II, Jericho II, OMG It's Firefox X, Poker Staples, Night Blue 3, Tally, EG underscore J Wong, Approaching Nirvana, Cyrano underscore TV, Raynad 27, and Tim the Tatman. Okay. But I don't know what any of that means, but I pulled this article because I knew how much TwitchCon means to a lot of people. And I just want to say, I won't be going to TwitchCon, because it's just too expensive, travel-wise. It's not expensive, in terms of going to the actual event and paying for tickets. That's cheap. That's really cheap. But I'm not really much of a Twitch streamer. So, I mean, if you are, go. If you want to interact with Twitch personalities, I know the kind of funny guys will be there. Because it's in San Francisco and it's a convention. But I just don't see the value for me going. You might have a reason to go, but I just don't, because, well, I don't stream. I mean, I haven't streamed anything since the release of since the Overdrive DLC, and even then I get maybe two viewers. These people like OMG It's Firefox X get probably millions of viewers at one time. Well, not millions, but thousands upon thousands. And I just don't get that kind of pull. I'm more of a news guy. And I actually let you in on a little secret. I'm considering streaming myself on Twitch, just talking about the news. But then it's something I'm wrestling with. Like, would you guys like that? Is that something you'd like? Tweet at me on Austin Belzer. Hashtag no live show. Hashtag do a live show. Or something like that. Hashtags. And I think I'm going to move on from this, because really, TwitchCon doesn't really affect me in any meaningful way, because, I mean, yeah, I'm just not a streamer. So I don't really see a lot of value in that. Alright, so let's... What's the next little article? CD Projekt Red announces an expansion pass for The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. So, basically what this is a lot of people get confused on expansion passes and then the 16 free DLCs they're talking about. Sorry, kind of ran out of breath. So, if you're excited for The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, you'll still get all that, well, anyone who plays The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt will still get all that free DLC, but they announced an expansion pass that that costs about $25 US dollars, where you get these two adventures totaling about 30 hours that are just kind of offshoots of the main game. And I would normally say, you know what? I don't know how to feel about this, because you announce all this free DLC and then you say, by the way, expansion pass is gonna cost $25 and you can buy it in a bundle with the game for $85 if you're buying on Xbox One and PS4, or I think it's about $75 for PC. Let me check on that. Fact check. Hashtag fact check. It's about 80 on PC. It's 80 on PC. So there's a little bit of discount there because things are a lot cheaper on PC. Let's just face it. Steam sales. I can buy a Steam game for 17 cents. Enough said. But I really don't know how to feel about this expansion pass because, I mean, on one hand, you're supporting the developers, but then you bundle it in with the game. I don't know. That reeks for we need money. And I get it. CD Projekt Red basically only makes The Witcher. That's what they're popular for, at least. But they've also got to make Cyberpunk 2077. Oh, you forgot about that? Oh, I didn't. I haven't forgotten about that game. By the way, show it off at E3, CD Projekt Red. Because, I mean, come on. It's high time. I think, when was the last time they showed it off? Like, 2012, 2013? Something like that? Well, fact check. Cyberpunk 2077. Oh. Top search result. So they showed that off. Yeah, it's supposed to be releasing in 2016. And it was announced in 2012. Eesh. But anyways, that's the other game they're working on. Hopefully, they're still working on that. Hopefully, it doesn't go the way of the dodo. Because I really want to play that game. But I would actually rather CD Projekt Red go the GTA Online way of doing things. And just saying, sorry if I'm breathing too hard. But GTA Online does this eloquent thing, and they've come out and said, this is why we're doing this. You can buy Shark Card, or you can buy these cash cards via the Xbox Store, PSN, or soon PC. I think that's coming out next week, hopefully, where you can just pay a certain amount. You can even pay $100, for this cash card that gives you so much money in GTA Online. And that means whenever, and they've said this, that means Rockstar doesn't have to have a GTA 5 online season pass. They don't have to do that. Whereas with the Ballad of Gay Tony, things were a lot different, so to speak, because the landscape was not really changed. But with GTA 5, you see indie titles like Bastion, Thomas Was Alone, although Fez, all those games, and where they can charge $5 for a game and then just update the game whenever they feel like. Well, except for Fez. There's some game-breaking bug. Excuse me. My voice is quivering. They had some game-breaking bugs in there that they supposedly couldn't fix or something like that. Even though they're still making, like, Fez ports, so... I don't know. By the way, when is Fez coming to Xbox One? When's Bastion coming to Xbox One? I know Thomas was alone, is already on Xbox One, but where's Bastion? Where's... that's just a personal preference. Again, HD remasters, I know. I kind of drum that, drum every now and again. Let's see. But yeah, I'm really excited for Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. I just don't want CD Projekt Red to just start charging because they want to charge you. Then I'm gonna make this the last, post because it's the most important. Project Can't Kill Progress, or CKP, is Deus Ex Mankind Divided. So, the reason why I mentioned Project Can't Kill Progress is Square Enix, if you haven't been on Twitter or whatever, Square Enix had this really long 3-day campaign, which is ended now, I think, where they tweeted out, hey, we're doing this interactive reveal where we're streaming on Twitch, I think 24/7 is what they said, starting Monday, and it's going to end on Wednesday, and you get to vote on some stuff. I haven't really picked up on a lot of it, but it was called Project CKP, and with the hashtag Can't Kill Progress, and it was a whole marketing campaign. And now that that's done, Game Informer has revealed their May cover. Well, they kind of pulled a fast one on Square and released kind of broken cover story embargo and said, "Hey, our May cover is Deus Ex." Mankind divided, leading everyone to be like, oh, Deus Ex announced. And quite honestly, I don't normally comment on leaks unless somebody confirms it, and somebody confirmed it. They retweeted Deus Ex saying, hey, Deus Ex Mankind Divided is announced. But really, Game Informer, do you have to do this all the time? Do you have to break your cover story embargo all the time? I mean, come on, be a little bit more professional. I'm not trying to slam you, Game Informer, but could you just wait? Is it that hard? Or do you just constantly screw up your scheduling on your posts? Because I can schedule a post saying Hitman 3 coming to Xbox One, and I can tell exactly when to post. And that's just an example post. I don't know if Hitman 3 is coming to Xbox One or whatever. But schedule your post a little better if that's a problem. Make sure you reveal it after they say, hey, Deus Ex Mankind Divided, that's what that was all for. Do that instead. As for the actual game, I'm really excited for a new Deus Ex. I haven't finished Human Revolution yet. I have it on my Xbox 360, it's downloaded, I can play it right now if I want to. Bought it in a sale, actually, like, I think it was like $374 or something like that, like on an Xbox 360 sale. And I got I don't have the Missing Link DLC, but anyways, I'll be sure to, play that. But it's Adam Jensen. I don't know if... I don't like that. I'm gonna patent what I call the Far Cry effect. If you have a game where it can take place at any time, and can be agnostic as to what place and time or whatever, every new entry should just have a new character. Because I've played quite a bit of Human Revolution, and Adam Jensen's character, he's fine. I don't need to see another Adam Jensen story. Move on. And plus, this is a prequel anyways, so why are you doing this? Why? Again, walk-in impression, still working on it. Why? I'm sorry, I'll stop. It's really bad. And also, my voice is lowering, so... Anyways. I really like how it's turning out. It kind of feels... Well, it looks, because I haven't played it. Looks like a mix between Crysis, Deus Ex Human Revolution, a lot of these first-person shooter games. It just feels like it's kind of learned a little bit. Because there's this photo, and you can see it on my Tumblr post, which I've embedded, so, woo, that shows Adam Jensen holding his gun sideways, and you can, so like, firing pattern and all that, you can modify your weapon on the fly, and search Crysis 2, search Crysis 2 gun, or anything Crysis, and you'll see a very eerily similar thing. And look, I'm all for copying other games. I think somebody should copy Shadow of Mordor and Alien Isolation, Sunset Overdrive. Copy those games because it works. I'm not afraid to say it. Just copy a game. Copy a game mechanic that works and put it in your game. And this game mechanic works. I'm actually kind of excited to see a little bit more people embracing other game mechanics and putting it in their game. Although, I'd kind of like to see a little bit something fresher than this. Because I don't imagine in Halo 5 Guardians we're going to see something like this. But it's kind of the same thing Square can do. So anyways, that's it for the headlines. Let's go to the outro. Sorry, I'm a little out of it today. Got so much stuff to talk about. Anyways, I'll hear from you in the outro. Bye-bye. Welcome back, kiddos. So, I got some stuff to close this out. So, reviews. What do I got on that thing? Let's see. I got Forza Horizon 2 presents Fast and Furious. Ollie Ollie. Sunset Overdrive and Dawn of the Rise of the Fallen Machines DLC. Wow, what a mouthful. The Imitation Game. Are just some of the reviews I have. Then some other stuff. I've got anti-feminism rant. A lot of people seem to be enjoying that. I talk about the Star Wars Digital Collection, which I previously mentioned in the episode. And the Russos are directing Infinity War. Yes, the Avengers movie. And some upcoming reviews, Pool Nation FX, Child of Light, Neverwinter, HBO Now, Moto X Second Gen with Lollipop, yes, a tech review, and iPad Mini review. You can find me on all the various social networks, Twitter at Austin Belzer, Instagram at Austin Belzer, Google Plus, The Bladed Tech Show, Twitch, The Bladed Tech Show, Xbox Live, Bladed Tech, PSN, Bladed Tech PS, and Steam, The Bladed Deck Show. Remember to rate and review on iTunes, because that really lets me know, hey, give me a 5-star review, that'd be great, because it gives me a lot of feedback on, hey, alright, apparently my phone's gonna go off for some unknown reason, but anyways, all that said, reviews, ratings, help me out, because, I mean, it lets me know, hey, you're doing a good job here, and I really do appreciate your feedback. I know I don't say that a lot, but I'm tightening up. I'm kind of making sure everything's all right, and quite honestly, I'm really proud of this episode. It's more structured than it's ever been. Well, besides the whole talk about the website. But anyways, follow me on, yeah. So, that's it. Bye-bye.